marks in here, the smarks in here, yeah.
Doom. I reference Cena so much, I'm sure you assume that I got a man crush, but I swear it's just random, not fandom. Ignore the lifelike mannequin. You can't see it, I didn't see it. Next to me in my Kia, and drive somewhere scenic to watch a sunset in Phoenix, share a box of Kleenex, to leave it in the middle of a bee's nest.
Yo, it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with JP, and this is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks. What up, JP?
There's a lot of super behind that kick, my dude. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good, man. You like that? That's my shit.
That was good. That was impressive. As somebody who's been in radio for a long time, that's quite the introduction.
So JP's going to be joining us as my new co-host. I mean, I don't know if the other people are going to be back. They might be back here and there, but the schedules kind of got busy. I had to get it going. His wasn't going, so we kind of came together and said, let's do this. JP, let people know a little bit about you, where you come from, and you know, who you are.
Well, keeping somewhat secret, keeping it somewhat kayfabe, I've been in the business a while. I can say I've done some dilly-dallying in the big three back in the way back when. Now I've done some managing here in Arizona, Pennsylvania, around the East Coast. Now I'm back here. I actually work in sports talk radio here in central Pennsylvania now. Before that, I spent about 15 years in Phoenix working in sports talk radio there. Mainly did a lot of MMA radio. You know, I also did some football, baseball, the usual. Got to cover a couple Super Bowls. So I guess you could say I've lived a semi-charmed life in these 44-plus years on this planet. And now I'm here to kick ass and take names with one of my favorite people, Sean Puff. Man, do this damn thing. Make this bad boy roll. Talking professional wrestling with the best of the best.
It's gonna be a good time. We're gonna have fun with it. I've done some shit, but nothing like that. I mean, I had an opportunity to do a couple of MMA things, never did it. I think my claim to fame was that we interviewed Vinny Paz right before, like, you know, when his movie came out, that Bleed for This.
Yeah.
So when that movie came out, I know people that know him because he's from this area. So I got connected with him, and he did an over-the-phone interview with us live on the radio on a Sunday, right? And I didn't know this until after we get off the phone, as we're ending the interview, right? I'm like, so, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing next? What's up for you? What are you doing? He says, well, actually, tomorrow I start my tour to promote my movie, and I'm on Ellen. So I technically had a live on radio on air interview with Vinny Paz before Ellen did, and I got the first interview about his movie Bleed for This.
Hey, that's pretty impressive though. Vinny Paz ain't no joke, man.
Oh, he was a great guy.
Absolutely.
But he was a great fighter. That guy was
he's fucking good throw. There's a lot of good boxers up your neck of the woods too, man. Mickey Ward, you know, his great trilogy of fights with the late Arturo Gatti. I mean, boxing was a hotbed up in the Northeast for the longest time. Now it's sort of flipped down.
I don't know Marvin Hagler.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Yep, the late, great Marvelous Marvin, one of the great pound-for-pounders. I don't know if he's not so much of a great, but I don't know if you remember the first guy that fought Tyson when Tyson got out of prison was from your neck of the woods, Peter McNeely. I mean,
Peter McNeely, the Hurricane. So in college, we used to prank call him.
Yeah.
So when you prank call him, right? Because Peter, I think it was just because of that whole thing. Like, he let it all get to his head, and he had this, like, so you'd call his phone, and it'll go to his voicemail, and we'll go, you've reached the Hurricane. I can't get to the phone right now, but if you leave me a message, I'll call you back as soon as I can. Hold on. We got to take a break real quick. Then we'll be right back. We'll pick this up and continue this discussion. You're listening to Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks. We'll be right back.
The Smarks in here. The Smarks in here. Yeah.
And we're back. I don't even know what I was saying. I kind of got, we had to like take that break. We were up against time there. But I mean, basically, I don't think that there's any reason to not have Willow win. She's been doing her thing. She's been doing it in situations she wasn't supposed to. Like, she wasn't supposed to win that strong championship. And I think that that's when you can come out there and just be put in a situation like that, you're rewarded for things like that. And I think that this is going to be her award. She's going to win the Owen Hart.
No, I don't know what the stature of the Owen Hart trophy is going to wind up being in the future. Like, I know last year they had Adam Cole and Britt Baker. Britt was already made. Adam pretty much there. Who knows what would have become if Cole wouldn't have got hurt. But I think this could be a way to elevate people, in my opinion. This could be like what the King of the Ring was for WWE way back in, or WWF way back in the day.
If you do it right.
If you look at how, Sean, how who needs it right now? And let's be honest, they desperately need main event women in AEW right now. It's scantily thin. People won't criticize AEW because they got Tony Khan fever. But I'm going to tell you, their booking of the women is as bad as WWE's, if not worse. It's a very scant view at the top. You've got a chance to make Willow Nightingale right now, who I think right now is ready to take that next step into a main eventer to put against Tony or whoever you make as the women's champ, Jamie, or whoever the hell it is, Britt. You can elevate Willow right now. Do I think Sky Blue could eventually get there? And I know people are saying, Sky, do I think she could get there? Sure, but we're having a very limited sample size of Sky Blue as something more than what she was, which was, let's call it, as I hate to use this term, but she was fodder for the longest time. And now she started to raise a little bit. They're starting to raise her stock, and the fans are interested for obvious reasons. And think about it, Sean. Now her name is on the rise because that one shot on Collision, because her ass was stuck out. I mean, she's there, but it's right now. If you put Sky Blue in the world title match, would anybody buy it as viable? I don't think so. I don't think you would. Whereas, at least with Willow, she holds a clean win over Sasha Banks, right? She holds wins over. It's passable. This woman beat Sasha Banks, whereas Sky Blue, all right, her ass looks really good. Okay, we knew that for years. We've known that for a long time.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I don't think it doesn't make sense. I don't see any reason to put Sky Blue as the winner, and I don't see a path that makes sense there. Because why are you going to put her against Willow? They're both faces. And you're not going to put her against Athena and have her beat Athena, your Ring of Honor champion. Doesn't make sense.
Well, shit, even if you look at storyline purposes, think about it. She beats Ruby, you've got the gateway to a feud between her and Toni Storm for the women's title. I mean, right there, she beat one of the Outcasts, and you could work on that. Well, you don't get the shot at me. Let's run the gauntlet. Then she beats Paige or Saraya or Diarrhea, whatever the fuck she's calling herself now. And then it's like, look, you've got a story with her and the Outcast. It's waiting to happen.
You're talking Willow, right? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Hey, I
too good
I
to pass
you.
On. Go ahead.
No, I thought I lost you.
I'm still.
No, you're right. I think it's too good to pass on. You got to run with it right now. And I think she's hot right now. And I'm not even a huge Willow fan. I mean, good for her. She's done her thing. And she's out there, and she can go, but I don't like her character. I don't like her gimmick, and that's a me thing. I don't like gimmicks like that. Like, I don't like Orange Cassidy. I think Orange Cassidy takes away from that international championship. Like, I don't take it seriously. It's like the 24/7 championship to me. It's a joke, because Orange Cassidy, I don't care how much of a good wrestler he is, his gimmick is just a complete joke, and I can't take that serious when it comes to wrestling, because he takes his gimmick into part of his wrestling. And some guys don't do it. And I love it. I love it when you see the guys that are like, yeah, no, that's not going to work with me. But it takes away from it with me. And I don't like him because of that. I think it ruins the business. And that's just my opinion.
I agree with you on that, actually. I mean, and let's just call this as it is. Okay. And I have respect for this guy, so this isn't trashing him, but I understand the business is evolving, Sean, as do you, right? So I'm not trying to sound like I'm totally behind in the times here, okay? But we all can remember, people look at Doink the Clown with disdain, The original Doink was fucking awesome. The original Doink was so damn good. Like, before they turned him into a goofy dork, you know? What Matt Bourne did with that character was amazing. But even then, like, if you remember back in the day, if they had put that Doink versus Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart for the world title, nobody would have bought it, because you can't. Right. Even though the character was great, the character of evil, vindictive clown, which is
it has its spot and it needs to be in its spot.
Exactly. There's a certain spot for it. Like, nobody's going to buy a wrestling clown having a chance to beat Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart for the world title.
Right.
Okay. That's how things were back in the day. You know, people like me, I wasn't a viable chance. That put me against Troy or Scotty, I would have got crushed. Nobody would have bought me, you know, because I was a goof, you know, and that's like Santino Marella back in the day. There are certain characters. And now it's like you've got this guy going out there and winning 25 man battle royals against some of the best in the world, like Zack Sabre Jr. Like, you know, what the fuck are we doing? This character just ain't okay. I get it. It's fun. The business is fun nowadays. I understand, but there's a fine line between fun and believability. And right. When you got this guy, we're talking about this guy, like, he should be elevated next to go after the world title. The fuck he should. I'm sorry, but Orange Cassidy is not a world champ to me. Orange Cassidy shouldn't even be this champ. Orange Cassidy should be the guy that, you know, I'm not calling him saying he should be
You know what he is? Let me tell you what he is. He is what Jimmy Snuka used to be. He's what Andre the Giant used to be. He's a, oh, what's the word? Why can't I think of the word right now? He's
an attraction.
He's an attraction. So I'll tell you what, I saw him at Evolve, when Evolve was still around, and Evolve did a show in, I think, Medfield or somewhere up there. I used to go to all the shows up there and kind of hang out. And so I saw he fought the Velveteen Dream, and it was absolutely great, the whole thing. From when they got into the ring, they did their back and forth, and it was super entertaining. It was great. It was fun to watch. Everybody was into it. The crowd cheered. I loved it. But it wasn't the world championship match.
Right.
It was a match that was there as an attraction for fun, to get the crowd into it and have a good time. And that's where Orange Cassidy should be. He should be in a position for the crowd to have fun. He's the Junkyard Dog. Junkyard Dog danced with the kids, did the whole little thing. Didn't see Junkyard Dog going for the world title.
I'll tell you right now, I'm gonna dispute that. If Vince would have fucking used him like Bill Watts did.
You're right. Junkyard Dog was nasty. I'm comparing him to like his position, like the position that Junkyard Dog was in is where Orange Cassidy should be.
Right. I get
you
your
be around all the champions. You can like be involved in everything going on, but you're not the guy that's going for the championship. You're the guy that's supporting the champion. You're the guy that's doing your thing, and you're funny, and you make the kids laugh, and that's great. But you have a spot for that, and it's not with a belt around your waist.
I'll throw another example for you. I'll throw another one out there, just like JYD. We're talking Stanford JYD, not New Orleans JYD.
Yep.
Okay. I'll throw another example out for you. Vince, we know, not old man Vince, WWF Vince, is his version of Georgie Animal Steel. That is Orange Cassidy. And us old school fans remember, I mean, I remember Georgie Animal Steel under Vince Sr. was a fucking nasty bastard. But the George that we grew up watching, Sean, was, you know, the chewing the turnbuckles and carrying the mime and acting like he couldn't speak and was a goofball. But he was a guy that would be right before the Hulk Hogan matches, right? He'd be between the Intercontinental and the Hulk Hogan match, the Andre match and the Hulk Hogan match.
And I didn't know that for a long time. And I like when I learned about that, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't realize that he was like this big monster. I remember WrestleMania 3, him helping Ricky Steamboat because he like was in love with Elizabeth.
And they made him into a goofy character of what he was. And it's like, I remember that. I was talking to somebody who was in the business up here, Tony Marino, who passed away not that long ago. I was talking to him, and he's like, this told me back in the 90s, like, George Steele used to be a badass motherfucker. I'm like, what? Yeah, he had matches with Bruno. I'm like, George Steele, the guy that chewed the turnbuckles, the green tongue. Yeah, he's like, he used to make George Steele look like a machine. The animal nickname was because he was wild and unpredictable and not stupid.
George Steele was a goddamn college professor.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. Like when I found that out, I was like, really? Imagine going to class and you're like, wait, No.
One of the most articulate promos I've ever, like, interviews I ever heard was with George Steele. Like, the guy was so well spoken. Yep. Like, he knew his shit. And it's like, you did that with this guy. Like, what you should have done is had him be like psycho mind games with people and mind fuck people and have him be this like savant. But
But that's not what sold at that time period. It's no, like, you know what I mean. It's you got to look at time periods and what sells and what time period and what people want to see. And the problem today is people don't understand what people want to see. They want you to see what they want you to see. But that's a whole different topic, and that's not even a wrestling podcast. That's a rabbit hole.
Well, that's like back in the '70s. You wanted an animal that was going to rip that was had a chance to rip Bruno's fucking head off and shit down his throat, you know. And then in the '80s, people like we can sit there and shit about Junkyard Dog and talk shit about why didn't they use Junkyard Dog like they did in New Orleans? Why did they use George Steele like Vince Senior did? How many damn dolls did that fuck like me dolls mine right. mine dolls did they sell in the '80s for George Steele? Like we'll sit there and like us, like we'll talk more about that George Steele. We didn't even know that George Steele was a freaking animal in the '70s. We didn't even know Junkyard Dog was this cultural phenomenon. And think about this: a African American who was over like gangbusters in the Deep South in the '70s. I mean, we didn't know that shit. He was this cool, lighthearted character that barked. And all right, I like this guy. He's cool. It was appeasing us young kids, you know?
Well, I started to get smart. I'd say I started to get smart after I was 10. I was like having this conversation with Sarah the other day. So the thing that I did is I always read, I don't know if it was PWI or The Wrestler or one of those. Like one of them had in the '80s, a blog in the back that talked about anything that happened with the cops and wrestlers, right?
Yeah.
So I read this police blog about the Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan leaving the garden, and they got pulled over and they had open containers, they had cocaine, and they had weed.
Oh, yeah.
And they all got in wicked big trouble for that. Like, Duggan might have got like fired or something out of it, but there was a whole bunch of shit that came out of it. But I read that and I was like, I was a very smart kid. I read a lot. I was a nerd. So when I read that, I was like, wait, what? Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Iron Sheik were in a car together and they were drinking and doing drugs? They're friends. They don't hate each other. This shit speak.
What the hell are we doing? What are we doing?
Like, that's when I like really started to like wanting to understand, like, wait, what? So why, like, what? This doesn't make sense to me. And that's when I like really started to read more into it and understand, oh, okay, they're characters, but they keep it so they're not supposed to know. And they're going to get in trouble then because they were in a car doing drugs together. That doesn't look good for people when you were fighting each other that night.
Well, it's funny because I found out Santa Claus is real the hard way, right? I got to do a show at the Spectrum. I was at a show at the Spectrum, and one of my relatives worked security, right? So he took me back there, and a big feud then was like 1986. It was Big John Studd and Andre the Giant, right? The Giant Machine, which we weren't supposed to know Andre was a Giant Machine, although if you're a fucking imbecile, you knew it was him. Like, and I even knew, like, as a kid, oh, that's Andre. So I got snuck backstage, and Andre and Stud, who are supposed to be heated rivals, they hate one another. This is right before the WrestleMania, like the WrestleMania bit, which, you know, Andre wound up doing a battle royal with Stud. They're in the back, and they're sitting there, like sitting out and sitting down talking. And I'm like, why aren't you guys beating the fuck out of each other? Like, why aren't you killing each other? Why are you like chatting and laughing and having a good time? That was my Santa Claus moment.
Like, wow. Yeah. No, but it's whatever. I learned the business more, and I understood the business more because of that. Because I was a nerd, and I wanted to know more. I was like, wait, what? Why would you do that? That doesn't even make sense. Why would you hang out with the guys that you're supposed to be? No.
Made you appreciate the art more, though, didn't it? Made you appreciate. Yeah. Started watching even as a kid. It made you appreciate the art, even though you knew, okay, this is one step up from being fucking Cheers. You know, it's Cheers with physical action in it. Okay, cool, whatever.
And,
fuck.
And then I used to think that they trained every day and practiced all the moves every day. And then I started to learn. And as I learned more about it, I realized, all right, these guys, it's not like you practice that every day. Like, you get to a level where you're expected to go out there and they kind of give you a layout of, okay, we want to see this move, this move, this move. Mate, you know, this is your finish. That's who's winning. And you guys are supposed to go out there and figure it out on your own and like kind of freestyle it and do it because you're supposed to be that damn good. So you're not practicing 5 days a week. You're going to be on the road out and doing shit. And that like really made me like really get like that part of the business. Like, wow, it takes you a long time to get to that level where you're not practicing stuff all the time, where you're just, this is what you're doing tonight. Go out and do your match.
Oh, so I'll tell you what though, I not to go off cuff here, but I'm so glad you brought that up, because you want to know the big problem with the business now, why it's different than it was before. And I said, I don't want to sound like an old head, but back then, those fucking guys, here's what we need you to do. Here's the spots we need to do in. What you do between point A and point B, to just as long as you get from point A to point B, whatever you do in between is up to you guys. Okay?
It's up to you guys. We know you're good enough to do it.
If you got to stop and promo in the middle and improvise in the middle, that's fine. Knock yourself the fuck out. You know, do whatever. Same with the promos. Nowadays, though, they fucking like I can't say the word, but you know what I'm saying. They do everything to a damn T. They have everything scripted out to a T. To where if these kids have to, you know, they have to improvise. They're ducks in the water. They're ducks.
Did you see that they just banned a bunch of moves in AEW?
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are probably legit. Like one of them was like, no, open chair shots. You can't just like take a chair shot to that.
Yeah. Old cousin Chris. You know, old cousin Chris brought an end to a lot of that. But there's got to be some kind of though free way. It's like let these guys improvise and tell them, look, if it's gonna concuss somebody or knock them unconscious, don't be stupid. Don't be. I know you like them, but don't be Nick Gaging motherfuckers out there on public television.
There's no need for it though. No, and again, like, listen, time and a place for that, and that's when you're at FET in Providence. Like that's what you do. We use play guys' heads open. Not when you're on Dynamite on Wednesday night on TNT. I don't think there's a need for it there.
Well, that was us though. That's like everybody talks about us as though we were some garbage wrestling. No, there was a time and a place. You had Troy do his shit. You had Raven do his shit. You know, you'd have the technical matches. You'd have the dummy bullshit where guys like me or Dino Casanova or fucking, you know, some of the beneath guys and the underneath would go out and get slaughtered, you know. But
that place was different, too, because that place was at a time where that was like – that was cutting edge. That was new. It was – I feel like as – like watching that come up into what it was, right? That whole era, that whole ECW time period was – a very, hey, check this out. This is the internet. Like internet was new, and it's here's some wrestling that you're not going to see because they're not going to put it on TV because we're going to be way crazier than everything you're going to see on TV. But there's this thing called the internet now, and we can put it on the internet, and you guys can watch it there. So I think it's a lot different when you look at it then to what it is now, because then it was cutting edge. It was different. It was guerrilla marketing. It was, you know, it was everything that was like that time period. So I think there's a big difference when you look at what that was and what today is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And listen, there was very much part of that. I mean, you'd have Sandman and Tommy and even sometimes Scotty and Sabu go out there and carve the shit out of each other. Terry and Mick, they'd go out there and do that bullshit. But it was like the ultimate buffet bar, all right? You wanted fried chicken, go get your fried chicken. You wanted a piece of hamburger, go get a hamburger. I mean, people will sit there and antique us like we were all just, it was all blood, guts, and gore, you know. And, you know, look and talk to guys like Jerome and New Jack, God rest his soul. We talk about that like it was a thing. There were plenty of great wrestling matches in ECW that people will not talk about.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Guys like, look at some of the studs that got their start there. Chris Jericho, Dean Malenko, Ye Who Shall Not Be Named, Eddie Guerrero. I mean, a who's who. There was some fantastic wrestling in ECW. There was some goofy shit. The BWO, like I said, having Al or whatever the big stiffs were at the moment, throwing guys like us around, like us going out there and making clowns of ourselves and getting our ass beat by the big guys. I mean, it was just to keep you a variety. And that's what I think people loved it for, Sean, is it's what gave you a variety of a little bit of everything. And that's why I think people are gravitating to AEW now, is it does give you a variety of everything. And if I will give Tony Khan credit, he does let those guys improvise, sometimes a little too damn much. You can't let the inmates completely run the asylum, but he does let them have some freedom to, you know, if these guys need to cut a promo, they can do it. If they need to work on the fly, they're not completely lost, you know. So that is one thing I will give AEW credit for, is it's not ECW by any stretch, but it's what the hell is. But, you know, at the same time, there is that freedom to where, all right, look, somebody bust his knee open, we got to quickly improvise. We're not going to stand there with a fucking blank stare like some of these guys will do. You know what I mean?
Listen, I have a lot of things that we could do a whole show on things that I don't like about today's wrestlers. But we're not gonna
Next
go
time.
there. We're not gonna go
Next
down
time.
that route. There's I hate some people. You're gonna get to know everybody that I hate. You're like, oh, you hate him.
I have a pretty good idea of some of them right now.
For
Just
a
for
while on this show, I was calling out John Cena every week, and he never responded to me because to this day, I think John Cena is afraid of me. So he never responded to me. So in my book, that means he's afraid. But I want to switch the topic real quick because I wanted to transition off of it when you were talking about Andre the Giant and the Giant Machine, right? Just to real quickly, I wanted to get your opinion. Do you think that the Creed brothers are going to do a mask gimmick in NXT after losing that loser leaves match?
I think so, because I don't think they're ready for the. Let me correct myself here. I think one of them is ready to go up right now.
Yep.
I don't think the other one is, and I'm not going to shade one. I'm not going to
Okay.
shade one. Bash the other, you know, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Well, so
But you
what? So let
know,
me ask you this. Hold on, I'm gonna stop you real quick. I want to ask you this. Did you watch NXT this week? Watch it again. If you can, watch it again, right? And pay attention at the very end when they're walking off stage, two of the guys wearing the schism masks were the Creed brothers.
There you be.
So
It's
like when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm like, I wonder if they're gonna like pull something where they come back under masks and like maybe they'll just like come back that way and like fight them. But it'd be kind of cool. You don't really see the loser leaves and someone gets put under a mask anymore. So it would be kind of cool to see them come back under masks and be somebody else. And
see them come back as Yellow Dog sort of thing, or Matt in the Midnight Ride,
right.
or I
Right.
try that. That's always fun. And it's, listen, I mean, if somebody's leaving, we all know Schism wants to fuck out. So I mean, we know Jagger Reed and the other one went out. So I just think there's more to this story than meets the eye. So like I said, I think the Creeds, like I said, I think that they are coming back under a mask, and you pointing that out is as accurate. I just think, though, like I said, one still needs some work to do before they get called up. So they're not going to call them both up and split the tag team, I don't think. And two, there's still a story to be told with the Creeds in NXT. I still think there's a lot of a story to be told.
Even when with those guys with Schism, I think that's gonna lead to something else, and maybe that's how they'll make their exit. Maybe the story's gonna run until I think I read that their contracts are up in like September. So if the contracts are up in September, you can run this story until then, and they lose a loser leaves match right when the contracts are up.
That could actually work. That could be perfect, because you know, you could have spend the next couple of weeks having some comfort level. Like, you know, Gacy thinks, you know, he doesn't have close with him, but he thinks it's his guys. Then boom, you know, the Creeds attack, take the masks off, and sets all of this up. Which I think they all leave. I think it's a good way, because I think Gacy's ready for the main roster. I think Gacy, you could send him up right now and he'd do just fine for himself. Now, I think he'd get lost in the shuffle,
Yep.
but I think he's ready. I think you could just get rid of the Schism Act altogether. Well, maybe not the whole Schism Act, because I think The Rock's daughter's years away from being ready. But you could definitely send Gacy up there, and he'd hold his own. I could see the whole stable getting kaplunked and, you know,
Yeah, you do
out the trap.
something where Schism has to be dismantled and the Creed brothers get to come back, or the Creed brothers are gone forever and can never come back anywhere in WWE or something.
Yeah.
Can you do something stupid like that where you know they're gonna win, but you're still gonna do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And we'll see. But let's get into what we really gonna talk about. I didn't even mention that we're gonna talk about it, but Slammiversary is this weekend. And it's funny because I feel like Impact Wrestling is the redheaded stepchild of professional wrestling, and nobody like really pays much attention to it when you look at the I consider Impact, even though they don't draw the numbers, if you were to call a big three, it would be WWE, AEW, and Impact. But a lot of people don't watch it. I like it, Impact. It sucks right now because I don't get the channel that it's on, so I got to watch it like when I can, and I don't really watch it as much. I kind of just read about it and watch what's going on. But I think they do. They got some good things going. They got some things I hate. I hate PCO. I can't stand him.
Yeah,
And it's not even him. Let me
I know
take
what
that
you're saying.
back. I don't like his gimmick.
The character sucks. I get you.
Yeah. But overall, I like it. So Slammiversary should be a good one. I like their pay-per-views. I think Slammiversary is going to be a good night. It's going to be interesting to watch. Let's get into it. We don't have to get into direct predictions, but let's talk a little bit about Slammiversary.
Well, absolutely. And I will say real quick to piggyback off your thoughts there before we get into picking about Slammiversary, here's why Impact, which has put on stellar product for several years now. They have put on really, really good product for, I'd say, at least, 3 years since back when, how long has it been since Tessa had the title? 2-3 years?
Something like that. Yeah.
But they've been putting on really good product for a while. The problem is, I think that name is so fucking stained due to the bullshit that Dixie did in the past. Where, you know, 1 minute they wanted to be us, then they wanted to be WCW 97, then they wanted to be the Attitude Era. They couldn't figure out what direction. Had they picked this direction from day one or the direction they had at the beginning and stuck with it, I think their reputation would have been much, much higher. But people hear Impact, and Sean, it's like going to that restaurant you keep getting food poisoning at, and you finally say to hell with it. You know what I mean? Even if the owner, food becomes great, people are still not going to go there because the name's damaged.
And that's like, it was great. You must not know what good food is if you thought it was great over there.
Yeah, right. Even though they're covering, even if they've got the best hamburger in town now due to new ownership, well, fuck. No, it's not. It sucks. I got sick. I had to shit for a week. You know, I was in the hospital with food poisoning. That's the way they look at it. But anyway, that's my 2 cents on that. I definitely jump on talking about the matches.
You're right about that, though. I just want to say that. Like, my girlfriend's like that. If she's had a bad experience somewhere, she doesn't. It's like, nope, not going there. I'm like, you can't, but same thing.
You can't get the stink off of it. Twice, right.
Right. But so Slammiversary always, it's like their big show. This is like their mania, right? Slammiversary. Yeah. So here's my one thing that gets me with Impact. They haven't really had star power, and it's been we're gonna have to take another break again, so you know.
Okay.
Well, 10 minutes. We get 10 minutes. This time I'm gonna don't worry. We get 9 minutes.
Maybe we can break down like one of the matches before we go to it.
Yeah, whatever. We'll get into a couple things real quick. So Joe Hendry, Kenny King. We'll just dive right into it. Let's get into this damn thing. Joe Hendry, Kenny King. I think that's gonna be on like the kickoff show, right? Because we got a kickoff show for this.
Yeah.
For the digital media championship. Joe Hendry's had this belt for a little bit, no?
Yeah. He's had it for, I want to say, he's had it for almost 300 days, if I'm not mistaken.
It's funny, because if this is a WWE match, you're like, oh, they're letting him hold it to get at least a year. Yeah. But I don't know that that's the whole plan here. Because now, is Kenny King, is he in that new version of the like infiltration group from
I think so, yeah. Was it he's part of that.
No More Honor or something like Honor No More.
Yeah, Honor No More, yeah. Yeah, they're NWO of the moment. Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're trying to do, but there's no need for it, especially because Ring of Honor's back. It kind of takes away from the whole point of it, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a match that I'm gonna tell you already. I don't really know. I'm gonna have to look into that more and who before I can say who I honestly think is gonna win. I think when you look at it, the fact that Joe Henry's had this title for a long time, it's gonna be on the kickoff show. I don't see why you change course and take it off Joe Hendry. The guy's over. I don't know why, but people like singing along with them, and that's a fun title. Just let it ride. I agree.
I agree with you, Sean. I'm not, I don't think he's getting the 365. I don't think they're going to stretch this out that long. I just don't think, like you said, I think you alluded to it, he's not losing it on a dark match or on the pre-show match. And I sure as hell don't think he's losing it to Kenny King. I mean, I think they're going to have it be something more significant than that when he does lose a belt. Maybe I'm biased towards it, but I see him losing it in a much more bigger circumstance than this, and to somebody more shall I say, up the totem pole than Kenny King.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Then we got Jody Threat and the Death Dolls, Courtney Rush and Jessica versus the Shantaraj, Giselle Shaw, Savannah Evans, and Jai Vidal. I don't like why. Why? This is one of the why things with me. And I know people love it. People love the whole Death Dolls thing, everything they've done with it. But man, when you want to talk about corny shit that happens in wrestling, this whole thing just like, and it's always been that. Like they kill off wrestlers. They killed off the bunny. They killed off, didn't they kill off Taya too? I think Taya got killed off.
Yeah, she got killed off. Yeah.
And now, Rosemary is what's her name now? Courtney Rush. She's like her indie ego.
Her alter ego.
Her alter ego from the indies.
Her indie ego, yeah. This is fucking stupid. I mean, they're doing good. Like you said, they do good things. This is not one of them. Like the zombie bullshit or whatever. Like, let's kill them off and then they show up somewhere else. Like, come on.
Nobody knows what to do with women. That's the thing. Like, what do you do with women? So that's just trying to do something that's not the same as everybody else, and let's get a bunch of women involved in this and see what we can do and do something different, and maybe it'll stick to the wall, because nobody can get the woman over. Nobody can figure out what to do to get the woman over, because nobody cares about the women.
I don't know, have them go out there and wrestle. There's a start, instead of doing this stupid bullshit where they're murdering people and doing this Lucha Underground horse shit like they used to do. Let's kill them, let's kill her, let's kill him, let's kill those. It's dumb, dude. This ain't the zombie. This, what's that TV show that had the zombies on it? Everybody was jacked off.
Oh, Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, thank you. This ain't the Walking Dead, for God's sake. So let's just have them go out there and wrestle and let the story tell itself.
Right. But that's just the whole thing with that whole, and whatever. That's, it is what it is. I'm not even going to get into that, because I don't really even care about that match. It's a waste of time.
I agree. I like Jay Vidal a lot, but this is a huge waste of fucking time. It's a huge waste of his talent too.
Yeah, and who's Jody Threat? I don't even know who Jody Threat is.
I have no fucking idea.
Again, on the pre-show too, so this is gonna be like free on YouTube. So,
you can
check it out. I'm sure it's gonna be great.
The Wild Child Jody Threat, media personality. What the fuck? Okay, whatever. I don't care.
Guy, girl. Is it a guy or a girl?
It's a girl.
Okay.
It's a girl for sure.
Right.
Whether it's Sean Morley's type of girl or not, I don't know.
So then the ultimate X is going to be on the line. No, it's not going to be on the line. It's going to be an Ultimate X match to determine the number one contender for the Impact X Division Championship. It's going to be Jonathan Gresham, Mike Bailey, Kevin Knight, Angels, and Kushida. That's an interesting one. Just everyone in that match. Like, I feel like everybody in that match is someone who should be put in a position, and a lot of them aren't put in the positions they should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Mike Bailey should have been something already, but they kind of dropped the ball with them, and I kind of feel like everybody did this. I don't know if everyone did it at the same time. Everyone just got sick of him, because two Mania weekends ago he was all over the place and he did everything. So then last year he did the job to everybody, and I feel like that hurt him. I feel like doing the job to everybody all around town this past WrestleMania week made people be like, I don't really care about him.
A little bit of too much is not a good, you know, too much of anything's not good. Like, you have to have balance, but, you know, talk about who's being pissed down is Kushida. I think we're running out of time here though. But
we got 3 minutes. I'm watching it. Don't worry.
Okay. I think, you know, like, and I know the X Division title is like right up there with the world title, but this guy was wrestling fucking, it was wrestling Macklin for the world title, was supposed to be the world champion before shit happened. Now he's doing this, and come on, man. I mean, that's like, you're talking about people that are put out of place, you know. And I know Gresham had a cult following for people that hate AEW because he walked out the door on Tony Khan, which is like something you don't see happen. So you're right, all these guys are pretty much typecast in a place they shouldn't be.
Well, I will say this, if you're going to use it like option C, that I'm for it. Give it to one of them. Give it to Kushida and let him use option C and cash it in for a world title match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like, that's cool. I mean, you have, who's the title been on? Macklin, really?
Yeah, it's on Macklin, and now Macklin was a transitional, and now it's on Alex Shelley, but I think he's a transitional too. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, right. But see, that shit doesn't, like, they don't, that's what I was talking about, star power. Alex Shelley's your world champion. And to me, that just, I'm like, really? Why? Why is Alex Shelley your world champion? Maybe I'm a hater, but I don't like him.
That'd be like putting Xavier Woods as a fucking world champ in WWE. I mean,
right. No. Yeah, I don't get it. Hey, is Angels? Is that Alex Angels?
Yeah, that's the guy that was in Dark Order. Yeah,
I thought he left now, wasn't he? In that
didn't Silver go back, or one of them, one of the clowns went back?
I think Silver went back, but I didn't know that. I didn't even know the Angels left. I thought that he was with the Mexicans now.
Maybe he is. I don't. Maybe he's just. Maybe Uncle Tony's letting him fill out his obligations in exchange for Billy Corgan giving him some of that fine
enough
you do with the Smashing Pumpkins. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
I have a hard time keeping track of this shit, man. Honestly, like, who's coming and who's going?
That's right.
Like,
it's nuts. It's nuts. But listen, hey, we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna be right back. One more break, and then one more time back. But you're still listening to Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kick. Say that 5 times fast. We'll be right back.
Super Kick Pop Time!
And we are back. We were running down Slammiversary. We had to go to break. We just talked about the Ultimate X thing and cashing it in, and hopefully that's what happens with that. But next we had the Coven, Taylor Wilde and Kylan King versus Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich for the Knockouts World Tag Team Championship. I don't see any reason in the world that you don't, like, you have to put the titles right now on Killer Kelly and Masha Slamovich, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You got to do something with Masha, because she's falling short so many times where, like remember when she debuted in Impact, she was crushing everybody. And then they made the inexcusable decision to have her lose to Jordynne Grace. Okay. And then she lost to Mickie James, and her stock is cooled. But she told this nice story with Killer Kelly, and then they became enemies to allies. So this has got to be the direction they go, I believe.
Right, because there's no reason in them being allies if they don't win. Thank you. So I feel like that's where that has to go. If it doesn't go that way, there's going to be odd. And the Coven, I don't even know why they still the Coven, Taylor Wilde and Kylan King. Wasn't the Coven with Rosemary and Jessica and am I?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the Coven or no? No, the Coven was.
I think so.
I don't know. Well, I'm lost in that.
Yeah, it's sort of become like the NWO at the day. It's like, all right, they've had people come and go more than a fucking brothel in Nevada, so it's hard to keep track of who's who. But I think they're the last standing, and now they're representing the brand. I don't fucking know. I just know I'm with you, like you said. If they don't, and I know they just won it in June. That's the problem. The Coven just won the belts in June, but. I don't know.
It's a tough one, right? It's gonna be interesting to see. I feel like you gotta, whatever. So what? They just want him in June. Who gives a shit? Take it off and put it on the
women's tag belts. Who gives a fuck?
I mean,
like, honest to God, it's like, you know, like, unless this is some damn swerve where One
Killer
or the
Kelly and Masha, one of them's gonna turn on the other one, and then they're gonna, that's how they're gonna lose.
Yeah, but that'd be too, that's exactly, that's could be the swerve, but that'd be too damn predictable, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be too
Here's the
quick.
thing. It's not even that it's too damn predictable. I think it happens too close to Shayna turning on Ronda and two other strong women. So I think it's too, I mean, you could do it, but I just don't think that now is the time to do that.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, I think you, if you're going to turn them, have them win the belts, have them have a decent reign. Don't shotgun rush it like they did Shayna and Ronda, even though I know why they shotgun that one. Wasn't supposed to be the plan. But if you're going to have the inevitable turn and have Kelly turn on Masha or whatever, then at least build it up some and not make it be so damn like, here you go, boom, we're allies. Whoops, we're enemies again. That's just
right.
Shit. That's just right. Shotgun shit booking that like Vince Russo would do.
Hey, listen, Vince Russo is my fraternity brother.
Hey, bless him.
Not no same, person. Not same chapter. I don't know him at all in person, but he's we're both SGTOS, so he's my fraternity brother.
Nothing against the guy, you know, nothing against him, but
it's a swerve, bro.
The swerve, bro. Like, come on, bro. Yeah,
come on, right. Bro.
Come on, bro. Yeah.
I'd love to see him booking an AEW right now.
Yeah, that'd be just, that would be something.
God, please no. I'm sorry, I wish I didn't even say that. Bringing it into existence is going to be all my fault.
You willed it into happenstance, man. You right. Willed it into existence.
So now we got Eddie Edwards with Alicia Edwards in this corner versus Frankie Kazarian with Tracy Brooks. It's a singles match. I don't even know what this match is about, what it's over. Again, I got to look into it a little bit more. I feel like both of these guys, you would think because Boston people were very Boston, you'd think that I would like Eddie Edwards, but I don't. I think he's a try hard. I think he overacts, and I think it doesn't come across right. Like when he does this little crazy thing, like he wants everyone to think he's like Mick Foley, and he doesn't come across like Mick Foley. He comes across like he's special needs. I'm sorry, it's mean to say, but I mean he doesn't. He's just like, he's not like believable as this crazy character that he's trying to pull off. Like when I see it, it's not believable to me at all. And I can't be the only one that feels like that. But
no,
yeah,
no, you're not.
He's not believable to me. So I can't get behind him at all.
I like Eddie better as a tag team guy. I liked him when he was with the Wolves, okay?
Yeah.
This hardcore gimmick, okay? Like you said, trying to pull off the Mick Foley, the Terry Funk, you know, the Onita. All right, Mick Foley was, what, 6'2", 6'3", and 290 pounds, okay? Onita was pushing 270 himself. I mean, Funk was 250. Okay, this fucking guy is 100, 200 pounds soaking wet. I mean, you know, no, again, no disrespect. I know it's a different business now. I know you don't have to be like the Incredible Hulk to get over, but you're seeing this guy get carved up like he's Bruiser Brody or Abdullah the Butcher. And he looks like he should be wrestling James Ellsworth. He looks like he should be wrestling, you know, I shouldn't say that. That's demeaning. I don't mean it like that, but you know, he should be wrestling in a tag team or, you know, doing the X Division, you know, not the hardcore shit. You know,
I wanted to punch James Ellsworth in the mouth one day.
Because he was with Carmella?
No, we were at it. He did a show here in New Bedford.
Yeah.
It was a Halloween show. They had him here and Road Warrior Animal.
There's a hell of a mix.
And I was right. And I was dressed as Coco Beware. And actually, Animal came up to me and he was like, dude, I love your costume. He goes, I wanted to call you out when I went up into the ring, but the bit we were doing with the costumes was for the kids. But I wanted to call you out so bad. like, but so then we're walking by and Ellsworth's like signing autographs and shit. And he's like, oh, I like it. Coco, beware. And he looks at my girl and he goes, can I do the bird with her?
Oh, jeez.
And yeah, I was like, wow, should I just knock you? Like, I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, like, wow, should I just knock you the fuck out right now?
Can I do the bird with your girl? Yeah, can you do the bird?
I was no.
Here's two birds for you, scumbag. Which one of your chins do you want me to smash you on for making the insinuation that you can get down with my girl, bitch?
Right. And this was right at the time when, actually, it was right before. Right after that, he got in trouble for it, but there was all that stuff going around about him with this underage girl, sending her messages and shit.
I'll tell you offline, but I'm not surprised that, and none of that surprised me, and I'll tell you more offline.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to knock him out. Speaking of James Ellsworth, I'm like, fuck that guy.
I agree.
I'll give you the bird. I got a bird for you, buddy.
I got two for you.
Yeah, right. You'll fly, all right.
Shit. The bird, man. You'll fly halfway across the fucking planet, dude.
Right. So, moving on, we've got four-way tag team match for the Impact World Tag Team Championship. ABC, the American Bullet Club, I guess. Ace Austin and Chris Bay taking on Brian Myers and Moose. And also Rich Swann and Sami Callihan. And also Subculture, Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster with Danny Luna. How many versions of the Bullet Club are they going to be?
Yeah, gold. Was there gold, white, black, blue, fucking orange? Yeah.
Every company's got a Bullet Club. Like WWE has a Bullet Club, but it's not the Bullet Club. It's just the club.
The club, yeah. See, at least that club, though, has some OGs in it, you know, like Styles and Anderson and Gallows that started it. Now, they can do away with Mia Yim or Minchin or Manchin or whatever the fuck her name is now. I know that, yeah, there's a
Bullet Club. It changes every, like, 2 weeks.
Exactly. There's a Bullet Club in every company. It's becoming watered down.
Every company. Every single company, there's a version of the Bullet Club. Like I said, even though they don't use that name in WWE, they have their version of the Bullet Club. And every other company actually has the Bullet Club in it. They're in New Japan. They're in Impact. They're in AEW. They're in Ring of Honor. They're everywhere.
So, well, just wait, guys. Just wait. And when you go to your local fucking indie fed at your junior high school somewhere, there's going to be a couple of ham and eggers that bought their Bullet Club jackets off of ProWrestlingTees.com. And they're going to walk around calling themselves the Bullet Club. Just like, you know, I remember every indie fed known to mankind had some asshole that dressed up as Doink the Clown. Yeah, you're going to see that with the Bullet Club soon. Trust me.
Bullet Club New Bedford, baby.
Oh, yeah. Bullet Club 814 in the house.
BCNB. Dog. BCNB, baby. That's what it is.
Well City Bullet Club.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Can we not come up with our own stuff? And I've been saying for a while, it's one of my big complaints is that there's no creativity and new shit. Everyone just, like, recycles old shit. But, I mean, guy, it's not even like it's old shit. It's still going on.
When it sucks, yeah.
It's, and like you said, like, even Impact, I guess you had Jay White there for a little bit to give him a little bit of legitimacy, but Chris Bay and Ace Austin, come on.
Chris, I'm sorry, I like Chris Bay a lot, but I don't picture Chris Bay as Bullet Club. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry, it just doesn't. Chris is his own independent animal. He don't need this Bullet Club bullshit. Then again, that's like when they were sticking Horace Hogan and Scott Norton in the NWO. I said, here, you want a membership? Here's one for you. Here's one for you. It's just,
yeah.
When you take a good thing and water it down, it begins to suck. And that's what they're doing, yep, with the Bullet Club.
Horace Hogan. That's funny.
Uncle Hulk, can I pick your balls now or later?
Right. Jesus. Then we got Chris Sabin defending the X Division Championship against Leo Rush. That's another guy. And maybe I'm, listen, Chris Sabin's probably going to keep the title in this match. Like, I feel like Leo Rush, every time I see Leo Rush in a card, I'm like, wait, he's wrestling again? Didn't he retire like 17 times because he was mad about something?
Yeah. And that's exactly why Chris Sabin's retaining the belt here, because they know if they put the belt on Rush, he'll get pissed off in a week and retire again.
Right, he's going to retire again. It's going to be gone. He's going to be like, wait, what happened? Wait, why? It's going to be done. Like, fuck off. Like, it's...
Stay or go. Just fucking, I understand mental health as much as anybody, but listen, dude, get your shit in order. Get your mental health in order. Fucking stay, go.
Listen, and maybe I'm an asshole. Maybe I'm an asshole. I'm just going to message some asshole. How's that? But here's the thing. Mental health, I get, we don't take care of mental health in this country, but a lot of this is just, we raised a whole generation of pussies, and people are pussies, and he's a pussy. So he doesn't get what he wants. So he's just mad because he grew up in a generation where if you didn't get what you wanted, you could go cry and they'd give it to you. Or if you didn't get it, you could go sit in the back of the room and play with a ferret until you felt comfortable again enough to join the room because you weren't getting what you want. And no one's given him a ferret to play with, and he's not getting booked how he wants. So he cries and bitches and retires every 3 weeks.
That's not mental health. That's being an entitled fuck bag.
That's what I think more of it is. And they call it mental health. But, and here's the thing, to that generation, it's mental health because they weren't taught how to cope. So to them, it's mental health. They're like, what do you mean? This is mentally, I can't take it. I don't know how to do it. It's mentally, I'm having a mental breakdown. No, you're not having a mental breakdown. You just don't have coping skills and you don't know how to deal with shit. You don't know how to deal with things going not the way you like. Well, guess what? Things are not going to go the way you like in the world. You're going to meet people that are complete jerks and they're going to be mean to you. That's how it is. You're going to tune into my podcast and I might be saying something mean about somebody that you like and I don't really care. If you don't like it, because I'm going to say what I feel, and that's how it is.
You don't know nothing about mental health until you get a fucking, you get a message that your fucking wife has packed all her shit and left the fucking house vacant, took the kids with them. And that's what happened to one of the dudes, in the locker room. He got a message right before he was getting ready to go out and wrestle that his fucking old lady had took all his shit and left and took his kids and fucking blew town like a fucking bat out of hell. That guy had a mental health breakdown. A mental health breakdown. But because I'm booked to lose to Johnny, go fuck yourself today. I'm going to claim I'm having mental health issues and I'm going to retire. Go fuck yourself, dude. Seriously. Get the fuck out of here with this shit. You're just a fucking punk that, you know, just like you claim mental health when he made that stupid fucking joke about Emma getting fired and got roasted under the coals. That's my mental health. No, you're a fucking idiot that don't know how to keep your mouth shut. Own it up. Hey, I made a stupid comment, but you know what? Fuck it. It's my opinion. Fuck you.
That's the crutch that people see. We're going to get political. But listen, I don't like him because of that. I think he's shit for that. And it is what it is. And people will be mad at me because I'm black. So, you know, I'm supposed to support every black wrestler, no matter what. I'm supposed to think Jade Cargill is the greatest thing to ever happen to women's professional wrestling, even though she's as green as her name is, and she doesn't know how to do anything in the goddamn ring, no matter how long she's been wrestling. But I'm supposed to love her and think she's great. I don't know.
Well, now she's talking about being gone for good, retired.
She's not good.
I'll get the fuck out. I agree with you. Like, get the fuck out. She has no redeeming quality. She sucks on the mic just because somebody gets on her and says shit. I'm sorry, I'm not 13 years old where that impresses me anymore. Okay, I say it every day, probably 50 times a fucking hour. Okay, I've heard worse words than shit because she said shit. Okay, and you know, that doesn't impress me. She sucks on the mic. Her wrestling is below average at this point. And when you're talking about her being a female Bill Goldberg, I'm sorry, that's not a term of endearment. I'm sorry. Okay. that's not good. Okay,
it's not.
I'm sorry, people talk about the looks. Okay, there are plenty of fine African-American women out there. She is not one of them. I'm sorry.
Oh, I agree with you. This is what I'll say. She can have a pretty face. But that's it. But, I mean, here's what my cousin taught me. It's not the face you fuck. It's the fuck you face.
True story. Dude, she's got a fucking body that's more ripped than most of the fucking men.
Yeah, no, good with Boy, that. I'll also that. With that.
That's like we used to talk about fucking Nicole Bass that way because she was built, you know. And it's not just because I shouldn't talk about the deceased, but you know, we speculated about Nicole Bass before China got plastic surgery and tits. We speculated about China because she had a body like that. I mean, come on now. Come on.
Right.
But I shouldn't have said that because that might offend each other. Might offend the wrong people.
Get offended. I say shit all the time that people get offended by. That's the only funny thing about. So let me tell you this. Eric Steven, I'm pretty sure from what I've looked up from him, most of his music is like Christian rap. So he might listen to this podcast and be like, holy shit, I owe these guys use my song.
Here's my philosophy. You ain't fucking us, feeding us, or financing us, so you ain't going to tell us what to say. Kiss my ass.
Right. Listen, I love God. I'm going to, like, we could get religious here if we really wanted to, but I'm not going to do that because that's not this type of podcast. But I could, let me tell you this. I could do a religious podcast. I could sit down and have a spiritual podcast, and that's where I am with that. So that being said, we'll move on in wrestling. Chris Sabin's going to win, even though I hate Chris Sabin. And I know you guys can't see this. You can see it, but I hate this. The fucking pointing to the middle of his hand, the whole Michigan thing of pointing to where you're from. And, like, to me, it's like Chris Sabin knows that he's not over, so he gets himself over by doing this stupid little hand thing, because if anyone from Michigan's there, they're going to be super excited because he's doing a Michigan thing. And I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm sure people in Nashville, Tennessee, and Orlando, Florida give a rat's ass about the state of Michigan. I'm sure, Sean, half the people that live in Michigan don't give a fuck about the state of Michigan. Come on. You want to eliminate federal debt, sell Michigan to the Canadians, and we'll get rid of that.
But people are, but let's be real. Wrestling fans are stupid, because that's why if you mention it, like, people don't give a shit about their town, but every time someone's in a hometown and they say their hometown, they pop like they're so excited. Yeah, Boston! Yeah! That's where we are! Yeah! Like,
even though 90% of the time the asshole probably never stood foot in Boston in their life, they're probably some schmuck from fucking Vermont or New Hampshire or New Jersey, and they're just getting a cheap pop hometown, you know?
Right. You thought it was great that they said Boston because you're in Boston tonight and it's on, and you're on TV because it's Monday Night Raw. Yeah!
Then they go out and get their ass kicked, which is always enjoyable.
Right. Absolutely. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like Chris Sabin. I don't know how you feel about him. He's not my.
I'm irrelevant, on the fence about Chris Sabin. I mean, he had a nice career, but, you know, there's a reason he's been an Impact pretty much his whole fucking career. You know, I mean, he is what he is. He serves his purpose. He don't do nothing for me.
I saw him in Lowell once live. I saw him at they did a pay per view in Lowell, Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And it was the weekend that Cody won the world title.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
And so I don't think he won it at the pay-per-view. I think he won it on live television after. Well, not live television, but on, like, recorded television. So Bobby Cruz is from Fairhaven. And Bobby Cruz was asking people if they wanted tickets to go to the live tapings. Uh-huh. So I reached out to me. He's like, all right, how many you want? So he had some tickets reserved for me. So I sat second row ringside for like 6 weeks of Ring of Honor tapings after that. And like the first match we got there late. So we probably got there for like 5.5 weeks. Because we didn't even realize where we were going to sit. We figured free tickets are going to be way in the back somewhere. I wasn't expecting him to give me second row freaking tickets. I was sitting behind, what's his name? Who's the bouncer's partner?
Oh, the beer that the Brian Malonis.
Yeah, Brian Malonis. I was sitting behind Brian Malonis's brother, who I don't know if he's his twin brother, but he looks like just another big dude. I swore up and down, I'm like, oh, this guy's getting in the ring tonight and fighting somebody. Like, this big dude. There's no way this big dude's right here just like sitting here. And his kid was right in front of me, and his kid was like crying when he was getting beat up.
Yeah.
Because it was one of his first matches in Ring of Honor, and he did the job.
And oh, damn.
Kid was crying because dad got beat up. And
he bawled his eyes out, poor kid.
Oh, it's hilarious. It was great. And they even, and I'm not even saying something being mean, because, like, the kid's uncle was laughing. Like, he thought it was great. But, yeah, we saw them. Anyway, we saw them get beat by what were they called then? The War Machine.
Oh yeah, the Viking Raiders.
Yeah. That was a good match. That was a fun show. I wasn't expecting to be there. It was funny. We got there and the box office was closed, and I'm like, oh, I had tickets saved for me. They're like, what do you mean? I said, yeah, Bobby Cruz put tickets aside. And they're like, what? Really? What's your name? And they go back and they're like, yeah, we do have tickets that Bobby Cruz put aside for you. So they give me and I'm like, all right, where do I go? I'm like, do I go up there? Like, no, you're going to go down there and go to that guy down there, and he's going to tell you where to go. So I go down bottom, I walk up to this guy. I'm like, I don't know. They told me to come to see you for these tickets. I don't know where I'm going. And they're like, oh, yeah, right there, second row. I was like, really? Oh, shit. Good looks, Bobby Cruz.
Oh, you fucking people. Bobby Cruz is cool. Bobby Cruz is real cool.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. But yeah, they were just trying to, you know, they're trying to get people in there. It's a house show. It's house shows taping 6 weeks in Lowell. I'm sure they weren't like, so, like they didn't sell that place out. They definitely didn't sell that place out. So yeah. It was they were just like, get people here. Can you get people? Bobby Cruz was like, yo, anybody who wants to go? So So that was cool. So after Saban beats Leo Rush, even though I hate him, and Rush, because Rush is a, I don't even know, I'm not going to get into it. Bully Ray and Diener versus Scott DeMore, and to be announced now. So who is he supposed to be with in this match that's not in it?
I don't even know.
He's supposed to be with some. I'm trying to see if I can find it right here, because it's, I'm on the Wikipedia page and it's got everything in there. Joe Kelly, Kevin Knight, Joe Hendry, Kazarian. Nope, I don't see it. Anyway, I know he was supposed to have somebody, and now he doesn't have that person, so he's got like a mystery partner. I've heard a lot of things about it. So, I guess he was supposed to be with Macklin.
Macklin's hurt. It wouldn't surprise me if Darren McCarthy winds up being his tag team partner. You know, he's 51 years old. McCarthy does wrestle.
It was PCO. So he was supposed to team with PCO. And I don't know if you saw what happened last week on the July 6th Impact.
No, what happened? What happened?
So I'm going to read this directly from Wikipedia. But Ray and Macklin ambushed D'Amore and PCO in the ring, cuffing D'Amore to the ring ropes before dragging PCO to the backstage area. They would proceed to pour car battery acid into PCO's mouth before dousing him in lighter fluid and setting him on fire.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so that's why Scott D'Amore doesn't have a partner, because they doused him with lighter fluid and lit him on fire and burnt PCO. So
we can't just beat his ass and leave him in the
It's PCO. I mean, he's like this big monster. He's like Frankenstein's monster. Watch his mystery partner be fucking PCO.
Watch, we'll attempted homicide and fucking arson on the guy, and he'll come back the next week without a scrape on him. God almighty.
When's you thought that I didn't have a tag team partner? Well, my partner's PCO.
Oh God, maybe it'll be Blue. Maybe he'll come back as Blue Kane.
Oh God. I mean, it could also be Tommy Dreamer, because you have that whole side of it and everything.
Is Rhino hurt? Because Rhino could do it too.
I don't know. I don't know where Rhino is. There's a bunch of people that he could get to jump into that spot with him and help him out in that match. But it's going to be interesting. I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, it might be somebody with the that has the ECW affiliation. I know
that's what I would think. My guess would be you bring in somebody that was in ECW and has a history with Bully Ray. There was talk about D-Von, but word on the rumor and innuendo is that he's not. He's done. He had a surgery done, and he's like done, and he's not. So yeah,
Devon's heart's fucked, so he can't really do too much. So that'd be, same with Raven. He's fucked up, so he can't do it.
Bring Jeff. Jeff Hardy and Scott DeMore. I would pay for that.
Yeah. Maybe we can bring Mass Transit back.
And I feel like they have, oh my God, Mass Transit back. That's horrible. But I feel like they have to win that match, because I feel like you're bringing in the to be announced person, that they got to win that match.
Well, yeah, there's got to be something significant enough, and he's got to be. So, like you said, if it's TBA, then they got to win, right? Because they're making a big ordeal about who the fuck this is. So,
watch it be PCO. If it's PCO, I'm gonna bitch about it next week.
It will be. Then we'll have plenty of bitch material on here.
Oh, I bet. Then we got the Impact Knockouts World Championship. Mm-hmm. Deonna Purrazzo versus Trinity. And let me be the one to say it. I am not a big fan of Trinity. I don't think she's that good. I think that she only kind of got her push she had because of who she was with, and I think that she shouldn't have walked out the door when she did, because she thought that she had more pull and more star power and didn't realize that her only pull and star power was because of her family. And that only works with Vince. It doesn't work anywhere else, because no one else really cares about the Samoan family like that to take anyone just because you're a part of that family.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think she's... the whole thing is, Trinity's decent, okay? She's not a terrible wrestler, okay? I mean, I've seen worse. But she's not the end-all, beat-all like people make her out to be. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. There's a group of people, and again, I'll take the backlash for it, and people are going to be mad at me, but they can't call me racist because I'm black. But I'm going to say that there's a portion of wrestling fans that are black that just root for everybody that's black. And if you don't like someone that's black, you're racist, or you're this, or you're that, or you're like, or you don't know what you're talking about. They're great. And just because they're black, they're great. And they're not fucking great. Trinity is not great. I don't care if you think that I'm less black because of it. Listen, OJ didn't do it. My blackness won't allow me to say that OJ did it, okay? But Trinity sucks, period. I don't care. Like, she's all right, but she's not, like, as incredible as you people want her to be.
I don't understand, what the fuck that has to do with, like, not what you're saying, but, like, just because you don't like somebody, like, am I less white because I think fucking, like, am I less white because I think, I don't know, I just think it's trying to think of a shitty wrestler. Am I less white because I don't see the fucking appeal of Eddie Edwards? Am I fucking racist against white people because I think fucking, I don't know, just give me a name here. Because I think, picking a woman out here. Am I less white? Am I racist against white people because I think fucking, I don't know, because I think that, Charlotte Flair, just hypothetically speaking here, not the end-all, beat-all. I mean, give me a fucking break. Not everything is...
Charlotte Flair has lopsided boobs.
She does. It's a... Whoever she...
I don't know if you ever saw that leak, but I have connections, and I got, like, all kind of pictures from that leak, and she, like... I hope they got fixed since then.
Yeah.
But,
she should sue the fucking tit doctor in Tijuana she got her shit from, because that was bad.
Dude, fact. That was so fact. Good.
But I don't, you know, it just, point of being, it's like, look, just because you don't like somebody in their style at work has nothing to do with their skin tone, okay? It's like, my favorite fucking wrestler is The Rock, okay? And I know there's a demographic of people, well, he's not black enough, you know, which is bullshit. His father was, you know, last I checked, Rocky Johnson wasn't exactly a white dude, okay?
Right.
Rock
right.
is my favorite wrestler of all fucking time, so, you know, he's, you gotta, he counts, you know, I enjoy fucking Ron Simmons, you know? But on the flip side of that, I don't fucking think, like, Trinity's that great. So
she's going to win the title, though. I think they're going to put the title on her.
Yeah, I think she's winning it here.
She sells. She puts asses in seats, and that's what it comes down to. She's going to win.
She's a dame.
But then there's – and then the main event of that, we got Alex Shelley, Nick Aldis, world title. And this, do we even have to have that match? Nick Aldis is winning that match, right?
Yep, that's, remember earlier I mentioned, I think this is a fucking, you know, he's a transitional champion too. Shelly's a transitional champ. There is no damn way in hell I could see, you know, Aldis losing this. And I think you want to make money, you put a Kushida Nick Aldis feud, that is gold. That is a fucking money feud. So, yeah, Shelly, that was a nice feel good moment. Here's your, you know, you've been a company man for a long time now. You've done a lot for the company. Here you go. We'll give you the belt. That's all it is. It was.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It was a feel good thing.
Transitional feel good.
Yep. And that's cool. It is what it is. I didn't want him to have it for long anyway. I was surprised that he had it, but I'll take it for what it is. It's not like they had like a knock the ball out the park champion in the.
No.
Prior to that.
I was honestly surprised Macklin didn't hold it longer, but like you said, he wasn't exactly somebody that. All right. We need to have a long reign with him anyway. So I'm with
you. Right. So we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up. But before we get like this, so that's Slammiversary. We just ran through the whole card, kind of got into it. We'll talk next week. We're going to break down SummerSlam. It'll be our SummerSlam pit stop show. So we'll break down SummerSlam, get like really deep into that, make some predictions and shit like that. It might be a little bit of a longer show, so we might get a couple more commercial breaks. Before we get out of here, I want to talk real quick because we still got a little bit of time. I want to talk real quick. Speaking of Jeff Hardy, making his GCW debut. And if I'm correct, He's not wrestling. He's just doing a metal show.
Oh, Jesus.
That's going to be a shit show. This dude is going to get wasted. I don't know where it is. He's going to get a DUI. It's going to happen. He's done. This is what happens when you can't go to Canada. When your company's doing a Canadian tour, you got DUI, so you can't go.
When are we going to start admitting the only difference between this guy and Tammy Sitch is the fact that he hasn't killed somebody yet?
Well, she was kind of a racist too, right?
Tammy was a lot of things. I don't know if she was a, I don't, she wasn't really a racist. She's just a bitch.
I heard Tammy's she said some stuff about she'd never
I can tell you for a fact that is not true. I don't know whether she may have said that. She may have said that. I wouldn't doubt that came out of Tammy's mouth in a fit of fucking cocaine fueled rage, but I can tell you for a fact she certainly did not back up that statement.
Like, I can tell you that she actually did. If I was in front of her when she said that, I would have been like, yeah, but you've already done it, so it doesn't matter if you do it in the future.
ask Tony Norris how much that fucking statement holds true.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
When he said, you're going down, he was aiming at it, Tammy Sitch. Later this night, you know.
I didn't want to get into that. I was going to.
We ridicule and scorn Tammy and for
right. He likes girls to step on his face. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's Tony Atlas. That's Tony Atlas.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Tony Norris is Ahmed Johnson.
Yep.
But it wouldn't surprise me if she fucked Tony Atlas, too. I mean, who hasn't she fucked me? But that's here and there. But the whole thing is, I don't want an STD that bad. But the whole fucking thing is, the only difference in Team Tammy is we ridicule Tammy. We revere Jeff. We love Jeff. We revere. They're the same fucking person. They have the same fucking problems. They're both major fucking alcoholics. Have major issues that can't get their shit together. Only issue is Tammy plowed into some old dude and killed the poor guy. Jeff hasn't reached that point yet. Like, yeah, he will, and it's
because it might be this show. It might be this show that I had. It's not even funny to joke about. People are like, that's messed up that he said that. It's a joke. Sorry. It's a joke. Learn to joke. Get over it. But
live a little bit, right? But
right.
This isn't new, though. He's been fucking, let's not stop and forget. I mean, the guy stumbled out to a fucking TNA pay-per-view shit face against Sting. I mean, and that's been over a decade ago. The guy needs help, and then you have Tony Khan letting him do free reign to do whatever the fuck he wants and do this ridiculous bullshit. All right, we all shit on McMahon for, you know, trying to send him to rehab. The guy needs it.
They're letting him do this right now, like I said, because he can't go. And they're like, well, I'm not going to pay you for this tour that you're not going to be on, so because my dad's getting mad at me blowing money, so why don't you go, don't wrestle, but you can, do a rock concert at a GCW show while we're in Canada. He's okay.
Well, I'll just say this to anybody that likes Jeff Hardy. If you care about the guy as much as you claim, then don't fucking placate this bullshit, because one of two things is going to happen and neither of them are good. He's going to either wind up a fucking tragic tale. He's going to wind up a tragic tale either way if this shit continues. Either way, he's going to wind up on a future episode of Dark Side of the fucking Ring if this shit doesn't start. Mm-hmm. And not for the good reasons. You know, he's going to wind up either killing somebody and in prison for the rest of his life, like Tammy Sitch, or he's going to wind up another fucking casualty at a business.
Mm-hmm.
So we can sit there and, oh, Jeff, he's great. He's great. Yeah, he's a great fucking talent.
I hate him. I don't think he's a great talent. I think he was overblown. Yeah, he's had some great matches, but I don't know. I'm not a big Jeff Hardy fan. I don't like him. I like him as a tag team wrestler, as a singles wrestler. Not my thing. I don't think that he fit the bill of what I saw as someone who should have been in his position. That's my opinion of him. I don't think, and nothing taking away nothing from what he did in the ring, just right. Not my cup of tea.
Absolutely. I get it. I mean, that's not for everybody. I mean, that's his shit. His bill ain't for everybody. But the whole fucking thing is, though, you know, the thing about Jeff, look, my meetings with him, I met him three times. He's a hell of a nice, he's a nice enough guy. You know, he's always been pleasant, but you know, somebody's got to step in and say this guy needs fucking help, right? He needs help. That doesn't mean he's a less person. Look, alcoholism's a bitch. Okay, the demon is a bitch. I get it.
But listen, so we're up against time. We got 2 minutes before we get out of here. Before we get out of here, what do you want? What's on? What are you gonna watch? What are people gonna watch? Tell me what to watch.
Don't to watch?
Yeah, what do you want to, what should people watch this week? What's going on this week, whether it's wrestling or anything? What should people be tuned into this week?
Man, watch the fucking Red Sox this week, man. They're going to hopefully get their shit together and make a run for Shohei Ohtani. That's to watch that, man. Wrestling-wise, tune into Impact and check out Slammiversary, because even though there's some weird bullshit on there, there is some decent matches. And even if I don't agree with them, look, Leo Rush versus Dan Shelley should be a decent match. Should be a decent enough match. I mean, solid card. Keep watching them because they are putting on good products more and more every show.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really have anything to watch because I haven't been, you know what? Dark Side of the Ring. This week, Dark Side of the Ring is going to be on Abdullah the Butcher. That should be amazing. Looking forward to watching that. Check that out. And obviously, Slammiversary. I think that's a good product. People are stuck on what they saw before and what they heard about it before and their past experiences, and they don't want to give it a chance. But check it out. I think it's going to be a good show. I think it always delivers. I don't think you'll be disappointed if you tune into Slammiversary this week. Other than that, we're going to get out of here. We'll catch you back next week. Pit stop to SummerSlam next week, right here, Smart Spot Monkeys and Super Kicks. Until next week, I'm Sean Puff for JP. We'll see you next time on Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks.
The Smarks in here, the Smarks in here, yeah.